HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade, and I'm sitting here today with South Bay Jay Cruz. It's you and I, Jay.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
It has been a little while. Yeah. We're just going to talk about sports and your music, and you play in two bands now, right?
Yeah. I've been in two bands for a little while.
Yeah.
They always like to play the same night, I guess, because I figured I'm already there.
You're already there. You're the session bassist there,
yeah.
I see. You know, whenever we get together, like, it's always fun to talk about sports. And right now, we're kind of gloating because the Raiders kicked the 49ers back to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never really been a Raider fan since they deserted me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they deserted Oakland and they deserted us. But,
yeah.
You know, down deep, I always want them to win because they're the lost souls, right?
Yeah, they kind of are that island of misfit toys.
They are the island of misfit toys. But there was one guy who made a great play in the end zone. I forgot his name, but he had number 83. And that was one of my favorite Raiders was Ted Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
The Stork way back when, the Mad Stork.
Kick him in the head, Ted.
But, yeah, it was as much as we like to make fun of the Raiders and all that stuff, when they were on, I watched every second of the game.
Uh-huh.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
And you watched the 49er fans in the stands just a little glum.
Yeah, it was, and then, you know, I have a lot of friends from the Bay Area, so watching the Facebook feed on, Sunday night was pretty funny.
yeah, you're from there, so you really have your heart into this one, you know.
Yeah.
I just liked them because when they were down here, I always liked them. They were always just the bad guys.
Yeah, well, my Uncle Bill liked the Raiders. You know, I remember when I'm like, oh, you don't like the Rams? He's like, oh, I like Oakland. Oh, that's a football team. Those guys have attitude, swagger. You just don't want to mess with those guys.
If they ever get a new stadium, they won't be the same.
Yeah.
You know, they got to have that funky baseball field and all that. But it was pretty cool watching Harbaugh on the sidelines. That San Francisco ship is sinking faster than the Titanic.
Oh, it is. You know, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people are, you know, you have a good run like that, and, you know, they talk about the window closing. You know, a good young team, they're very close to the top, and now a lot of those players are, you know, asking to get paid, and you got to lock them up, and then you can't keep everybody else. So,
well, I think half their teams in jail are on suspension, aren't they? They've had a few.
Yeah, they've had a number of
bad guys
in the linebacker corps. So,
but they. You know, Colin Kaepernick may be showing why he was actually a quarterback at Reno and not at the SEC or something like that. But,
you know, also, you look at him and the gentleman who won the Heisman, RG3. He had a rookie of the year, you know, his first year, got him to the playoffs, had that injury. You know, an unfortunate second season, maybe came back too early, a lot of people say. And, you know, his third season, you know, he's being benched and this and that. And, you know, the NFL doesn't really have a long shelf life for running quarterbacks. That happens in college when you're the best athlete, and you can just outrun everybody, and, you know, you're still going to get gifted if you get in front of everyone. But, you know, once the book gets out and the league's like, all right, these guys are going to be getting cute and running, then I'm going to try to stop that. And
Chris Collinsworth the other night said there's more contact and they hit harder in the NBA than they do in the NFL now because of the penalties and the rules.
Right.
But when this guy got flagged for a clean hit going across the middle, but the running quarterbacks don't have a chance anymore.
No, they
just get clean. They clean their clock
and
their arms aren't that great. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of funny. I'm the Brady, Manning, Aaron Rodgers kind of guy. So
yeah, and it is, and I like Russell Wilson because he sort of makes it happen in a pragmatic way. You know, he'll run for a big, but it reminds me of like Roger Staubach. He was a scrambler. Yet he wasn't really an option quarterback. You know, if everything broke down, he could get yards for you and get that first down, and it'd really frustrate you as a defender. You know, but just having it be a strategy like the college game just doesn't happen. And they're all too fast. They're all they'll have number 9 out of 10, you know, speed. Well,
there's a whole different world.
Yeah.
The worst athlete and the worst team is still a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
But it is kind of amusing to watch these guys. They go down.
Yeah.
But Kaepernick, I don't think he's going to be their savior like they thought.
No, and, you know, Kansas City's doing pretty good with Alex Smith, who took a lot of, you know, had a couple hard years in San Francisco. And then when he was doing well, you know, they went with, you know, the new one on the block.
Well, you have not David Carr. What's his name? Carr.
Derek
Carr.
Yeah,
yeah, the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's not a scrambler.
No, he's done some okay things. You know, he's kind of leading not a great team, but he's done some good things in a tough season.
He's kicking butt.
Yeah, he's
if he had the whole team around him, they would be better. The only thing that would have been better than beating the San Francisco 49ers was if they would have beat San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
So I had a great sports weekend. The Packers won last night. They squeaked it out at the end, but you know, that's always pleasant to watch when it's 20 degrees and they're out there beating the hell out of that team.
Oh, and then, the comeback. Atlanta with the comeback.
Yeah, they almost pulled it off. But, and then the Patriots beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
I don't know why I dislike all the California teams other than Oakland. You know, I just, maybe because I'm just, I'm trailer trash at heart.
You know, when it gets to the end of the year, though, and you're watching a game and it's a California team and it's sunny, and you're watching the other teams and it's cold and snowy, There's a part of me that wishes our teams played in the cold and snow.
Exactly.
Too,
well, it's kind of always murky and cold and snowy in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they make it look that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do the aerial shots during the game and they show San Francisco and it's got the pyramid and it's got the Golden Gate and Oakland's got nothing.
Yeah, it's got protesters going on.
Yeah, it's got nothing. It's just a dumpy little city, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Rust Belt city out here in California, but you got
it's kind of like a piece of Jersey on the West Coast.
It is, it is. And the fans are there; they got their tattoos and their beards,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even have to wear jerseys or anything. You just know what their fans are.
Oh yeah,
the San Francisco fans, like John Madden would say, they were they'd eat brie and drink white wine.
Exactly.
The Raider fans are out there just fat guys with beards.
Great. And and that goes a little bit deeper too. I mean, the two cities and the two the peninsula and the East Bay and Northern mm-hmm. California are a little bit more kind of like New York and Jersey. New York might be the city, and Jersey might be where the working class people that do the heavy lifting in the city live and go and stuff. But like Raider fans, more associated with the blue collar and the kind of more beer drinking, where the 49ers are a little would wear their sweaters to games and would do the white wine and cheese. But the
garlic fries.
But the way that the fans sort of go with style points, even when the Niners were successful and were making had that run of like 15 straight years of 10 wins and were making the playoffs, fans were uppity if they weren't winning by three touchdowns, if they weren't, Young didn't have, they had to win by a certain style point. So Raider fans are like, 18-17, that's a win.
Yeah.
We don't care. Win is a win. Just
they
win, baby, you know?
I was watching that, the football life. Have you watched that on ESPN? It's really good. They had one with Roger Staubach the other day.
Oh, okay.
And then I watched one a couple days ago with Butkus and Gale Sayers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't watched it, it's really cool.
Yeah.
They had one about Eric Dickerson.
Okay.
And you know what? 20 years ago, he was in the same time period. The Raiders had him, Roger Craig, and Marcus Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They all didn't play. They were, Al Davis was being a turd and playing them off each other. But they had probably three of the greatest running backs ever on their team.
Oh, yeah.
But they were maybe past their prime, but they were still kind of cool. You got to watch that show.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the one the other night about with Butkus and Gale Sayers. And Gale Sayers, I think he only played 62 games.
Like six years, had a knee surgery that he would come back next year from, and we wouldn't think much of it other than, he's going to be lost a step,
What do you think about when you think of Gale Sayers?
Besides the fact is he was maybe one of the greatest players who had a very short career, that movie Brian's Song.
I love Brian Piccolo. I want you to love Brian Piccolo, too. What a line. That's a great movie.
James Caan and Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams,
I get goosebumps because I think we all cry Brian's Song.
It was a subliminal. Mm-hmm. Don't want to get into all that kind of stuff, but it was subliminal because it was a statement about race too. Here's this guy from Kansas and then Brian Piccolo is from the South, Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like their two best buddies and all that. And the other night I was watching that show, and when Gale Sayers was asked about Brian Piccolo, this was filmed a few months ago, he got teary-eyed now.
Yeah.
So it was pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I still watch that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's James Caan and Billy Dee Williams.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they interviewed Billy Dee Williams on the ESPN the other day on that show.
Uh-huh.
And we forget that we all get older. And I go, man, they're showing what they look like in the movie. And now it looks like it looks like hell.
Yeah.
But he's just older.
Yeah.
I'm sure he looks better than I do, but I'm going, that's not Gale Sayers. They get old. Gale Sayers didn't look very good either.
Yeah.
Dick Butkus held up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's just, you gotta watch that. We talked about that show. It
definitely
is incredible. I do DVR it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. And then that one about with Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
And, they had, he has five or six kids. They're all grown adults now. And Roger had that line. Phyllis George asked him to compare himself to Joe Namath and his womanizing. And Staubach said, well, I like to have sex as much as anybody else. I just like to have it with the same girl.
Mm-hmm.
And his kids are now talking about it, going, Dad, we were in high school then.
Mm-hmm.
We were 10 years old, and you embarrassed us.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when you're a kid and you're looking at your parents, you want to think that they've had sex no more than the amount of people are in the room.
Exactly. You know,
there's three brothers. That's how many times my parents have been active. You know.
Yeah, well, here we keep changing subjects. We were in Hawaii once, and my daughter, Brett, goes, should we go away so you and Mom can have some alone time? That's what you call it. Okay, they go, ew, but it's alone time.
Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't need long. Just go away for a little while. That's all good. It just happens. Don't worry about it, kids. You don't need to. You know, it's like in the movies.
Right.
So we go back. What do you think is going to happen to Jim Harbaugh? Think he's going to leave?
He's probably going to go somewhere. I mean, it's interesting. Everyone wants to put him in Michigan because he played there and, you know, graduated school there and does have a connection to, I guess, the former coach Bo Schembechler and thought highly of him. He was successful at Stanford. You know, he did a great job there. Maybe he is going to fit better with the college game. I think he's done a pretty good job with San Francisco. Obviously, they've had some issues this year. For some reason, again, the Niners ownership or the fan base expect, you know, perfection. You know, considering where they were with Singletary not too long ago.
I like him, actually. I like his antics on the sidelines.
I do, too.
I like him throwing a fit. He would be a good coach for the Raiders.
He'd be a great coach. He has been a good coach. I just think they've had a not-as-great season, and sometimes those things happen in the NFL. But for the Niner fans to want to run him out of town, and who are they going to get to replace him?
They want Bill Walsh, and who's the guy that followed him? The guy with the...
Oh, well, George Seifert, who was the defensive coach.
But they stand on the sidelines, and they act like gentlemen.
Hmm.
They don't rant and rave and throw clipboards or, you know, squint their nose and things like
Singletary
that.
Singletary was a gentleman, you know, for the most part. Different from his persona as a linebacker. You know, he was a very mild-mannered coach where I thought he could have probably benefited from throwing a chair once
he
or
didn't
twice.
Win, though.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it.
But, yeah, Harbaugh would be a good Raiders guy. I can see him in black pants instead of those little khaki Walmart gray
pants.
And
a lot of people may or may not remember he did have a position with the Raiders before he got coaching at San Diego University. He was like a quarterback's coach.
I saw that on TV. They had his hat. I thought it was a joke. They were superimposing the hat on him like he'd be the coach next year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't know he was on the Raiders before.
Yeah, and his name was even dropped before he started the college coaching career. So it, it might not be the worst thing.
He fit right in.
I think so. You know, and he'll actually have a quarterback. I think he's good with working with quarterbacks. Maybe the judgment to go with Kaepernick, maybe hasn't worked out. I don't know if that's Harbaugh's fault. I think the rest of the league's just caught up to the running quarterback, and Kaepernick's not a great passer.
Yeah, it's not like it hasn't worked out, really. He was supposed to be the next superstar in the Hall of Fame and the best quarterback ever. He's on the cover of all the magazines, and now he just went back to being a good quarterback.
Yeah, and sometimes with the running quarterback, when, you know, they just start getting knocked around a little bit and try to be more of a pocket passer, it's not their strength. And defenses sort of, you know, take away their passing and know that they're not going to run because they're being told not to run. So,
right. Yeah, so, a lot of these guys, they follow superstars, and they actually do well. Aaron Rodgers followed Brett Favre. Andrew Luck got lucky because he's so good.
Uh-huh.
He followed, you know, Peyton, but...
Yeah.
In San Francisco, they're always going to think about Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Yeah, and even that was an interesting case. It worked out at that time. They made the right decision going with Steve Young. But, you know, you could even look back, and they could have almost had gone with that move earlier. There was a time where Joe Montana was injured, and Steve Young came in, and the Niners' offense was unstoppable. And then Montana started the playoff game, and the Vikings upset him. You know, he was a little cold, and there's people thinking Young should have been the guy then, you know.
Well, it's amazing how time... the technology, maybe it's medical technology or drugs or whatever, the way they work out. But, you know, Joe Montana, he was over the hill at 33, 34, they said. They went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now you got Tom Brady and Peyton Manning playing, 37, 38 years old.
Yeah.
And these guys look like they're 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
At least Brady does.
Yeah, he's got some good genes, you know.
Yeah, I don't like him. There. I love him, but I hate him. He's too handsome.
And he's got too much going for him.
Yeah. they had a thing up. In the paper about his new mansion, and I wouldn't open it up. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
His new mansion with Giselle.
Right.
And I'm going, you dog. You know, yeah. The right genes, all it is. It's a fact.
You know, he does, he's already very media savvy, too. Like, if he wants to go into broadcasting, he'll have all the offers he wants. He does, you know, like the Monday Night Football halftime report. And, you know, he's benefited from a guy like Belichick and the organization around him that has sort of helped him do the kind of the right thing, at least as far as the public perception. He doesn't come out and do locker room material. Other teams are going to be inspired other than the fact they want to beat him because he's so good. He doesn't do anything extra to fire up somebody, you know. Even when Sherman got in his face, he didn't really, you know, react much to it. It's like
he was dropping some F-bombs. You could read that his lips the other day, but that just means he's a fiery competitor.
He is. Yeah, he definitely is. And, you know, a couple years ago when they were setting records, he was just like a conductor in that offense. Mm-hmm. He's really keeping it a tight ship. And I'm sure, you know, he's very demanding. But, you know, his ability in the booth is very smooth, you know, to be an analyst and bring some insights to the game. So we're probably going to be seeing him for the next 40 years.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with him. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, and you know, as a Raider fan, he's like somebody I should not like because of the whole tuck rule thing, but I think that was such an obscure rule that he didn't even know it was a rule and it just benefited from it.
No, he didn't have anything to do with it. He just called it.
Walking off the field and he's like, okay,
I'll
second
take
chance.
It,
what am I to say no?
That is correct. I was pissed about that one.
Yeah.
But,
so I can't really hold it against him. It wasn't like he lobbied for it. He just benefited from it. My team didn't.
And he couldn't be a Raider quarterback because he's too good, too handsome. The Raiders always have kind of average quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This new guy is going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taken rejects and Plunkets and whatever. They've had average. But Tom Brady wouldn't fit in Oakland.
No.
It won't happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen at all. And then what do we have here? The Galaxy won there.
Landon Donovan's send-off. They beat the New England Revolution. Tom Brady.
Take that, and that was Robert Kraft's team also.
Yeah.
He owns both of them.
Oh, there you go.
So they're out here as one team lost, but his other team beat San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, but they had a big thing last night in Hermosa.
At the pier?
Yeah. Because we had a little birthday party for my daughter at HT Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we're having dinner, Paul Hennessy stopped by to say hi, and he said he just left Hermosa. And the Galaxy had rented out the upstairs of Hermosa Hennessy's.
Okay.
And he actually asked me if I wanted to come down and say hi. I'm going, I don't know any of these. I don't know them. My daughter would have liked to have gone, but I looked in the news, and there were thousands of people down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. If it was a Super Bowl or the Kings, there'd be more thousands of people. But.
Very true. I mean, they only won Sunday, so, you know, it just didn't really get a lot of notice, you know,
to go and
party.
But it's kind of cool. They're still soccer players, and they don't make the NFL or the NBA or the NHL money.
Yeah.
But
and it's interesting because Donovan, you know, he's like the all-time leading American scorer. He's one of the most decorated MLS players. I think this is like his fifth championship throughout his career. And he's a spring chicken. He's only like 32. But he has been playing professionally since he was like 18. So that's like 14 years of pro soccer. And he's just
done.
He wanted to leave on his own terms. He's leaving on the high notes. I think not being selected to the World Cup team last summer might have definitely started a lot of this process that he may have been thinking about already. You know, looking back, the team may have or may not have advanced with him or without him, but I think many fans would have liked to have seen him on there for one more time. Not really sure why Coach decided, you know, not to have him on. But, you know, now he's checking out of MLS, but I think the sport is healthier than it was when he started.
Oh, it's huge.
You know, it's
they sell out that stadium all the time, and it's very huge. These kids are now, as they're turning into adults, they're buying tickets. Before, that didn't happen.
Right.
But he's been that competitive soccer for guys.
Yes.
Well, women too. But they it's very rough.
Mm-hmm.
And they get broken and beaten up. They're not wearing any pads.
No, they don't. And a lot more head trauma that goes on because they hit the ball with their head. So, you know, it's taking a few punches, you know, in a boxing match.
Yeah, he should have been picked for that World Cup.
I think so.
The TV draw and honor, and they didn't have to play him all the time, but they obviously made a mistake because they didn't go very far anyway.
Yeah, so. And, you know, it's obvious it would have been probably his last, you know, chance at 32. And he was the hero in the World Cup, you know, a few years before that when he literally won that game against
I remember that.
Angola, whoever, I don't even remember.
I know. It's not like you're watching the Super Bowl. You just remember bits and pieces.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was amazing. He took it, you know, from you know, almost like a fast break from, you know, from bucket to bucket, you know, and scored the goal to win that game and some other things. So, anyway, congratulations to him. And, I guess they say they have a trip to South America for the team sponsor, some commitment. And then after that, he's going to retire and, you know,
done.
Do things.
I guess they must live in the South Bay or Hermosa Beach. That's where they had the party down there, all these guys. But it's kind of a trip. Now, I was listening to, the radio on the way up here. Now, did LeBron James put his arm around the princess or something last night?
I heard something
in England are raising hell about
that. Yeah, I didn't quite see that. I saw that Jay-Z and Beyonce met the Prince Henry and Princess Kate.
Princess Kate. That's the Duchess of something.
Right.
I think it'd be kind of funny. He's a big, sweaty guy just playing basketball, puts his arm. I wonder if he's already working out. But, you know, they act like they're so funny back there in England. They, you know, he's LeBron James. You'd want him to put his arm around you.
Yeah.
I'd want a hug from LeBron James.
Well,
that'd be kind of cool.
Talking to superstars, he's the biggest superstar in the NBA, you know?
He's probably more famous. Well, he's not more famous than the Duchess of whatever she is.
In this country.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But I don't get the royalty part, but.
That's a stretch, yeah.
Yeah, that's a stretch. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and find some other frivolous things to talk about.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Hey there, welcome back to HealthyLife.net. This is South Bay Jay Cruz sitting here with me, Steve Aspel.
That's right.
How are we doing today?
Better if I remember to put the commercials in when they're supposed to be played.
You've got to pay the bills somehow. Well, usually you produce, you don't, and direct or whatever, you don't talk as much. So we were talking about football and Tom Brady and your mind went south.
That's it.
So, more sports. Let's see. The Redondo Union High School girls volleyball team won the California State Championship.
Excellent.
That is huge. Because all these years, you always have something like Miracosta. Miracosta usually wins, and it's kind of cool. I mean, we're real proud of them. And what we're going to do is have a little parade for them and get a double-decker bus, have them come to City Hall. And
very nice.
Well, we did it a couple years ago for the boys' basketball team.
Right.
So it's Title IX stuff. But I have daughters, so we're gonna honor the girls this time instead of just guys. But
it's cool. Volleyball is a huge sport, and this is one of the areas in the country where, you know, we talk about, you know, student athletes going on to college, and, you know, there's college recruiters all over the place.
Oh, they send a lot to the colleges,
too.
Oh,
yeah, they do.
And they, well, Coach Tommy Chaffins, he's been there forever, and he's won a number of championships. I don't know, I'm sorry to say, I don't know if they've won the California championship before, but he's one of the more well-respected coaches in the country, and you never hear a bad thing about him. The kids just love him, and he's... But he's a good guy. I see him all around town. So I'm going to get him some kind of proclamation and whatever, but it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that helps. And it's a great thing for the community. You know, people, you know, will go on past high school, college, or to their lives and will finally reflect, you know, the years of playing volleyball and, you know, the future people that are the 5-year-olds out there today that'll win in 10, 15 years from now.
You know, they start early in volleyball just like any other sport now. My daughter, Brett, who plays softball at Chaminade in Hawaii, she's about 6 foot tall. And she was that height when she was a freshman at high school. And the coach, Tommy Chaffins, and other people at Redondo High said, you ought to go out for the volleyball team. And Brett goes, well, I can't play volleyball.
Yeah.
Well, she played a little bit at grammar school, but that was kids, 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. And I said, why can't you? You're tall and all that. She goes, well, these girls have been doing it since they were 4. Like, I'd been playing softball since I was 4. So she goes, I may be tall, but I mean, I'm any good.
Yeah.
So she was pretty right on. So she never even bothered with it. They kept asking her. She goes, well, I'm not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to do these sports nowadays from when you're from womb on.
Yeah.
So some of these parents are over the top, but you got to.
And you've brought that up in at times where a lot of these parents that, you know, invest so much time and money in, like, club sports, where if you were to save that money on all those trips and just let a kid play a normal AYSO or a volleyball league and let them just have a normal kid life, they would probably... You'd have that money to save for college, and they might still make it anyway if they're talented.
They wouldn't make it. I was reading in the paper last week about how coaches are now sharing the athletes. You know, like when Brett was in school and my other daughter Katie was in school, the coaches pretty much demanded you play soccer or you play volleyball or softball.
Yeah.
And because they do stuff year-round. But now there's, and I can't remember the name of the athletes, but they're well-known athletes that, you know, they're drafted by baseball and NFL or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But they play everything. Oh, it's that guy in the guy that just signed the biggest contract in the Miami Marlins.
Oh, yeah. Giancarlo.
Giancarlo somebody, but he's from the Valley.
Stanton?
Yeah, something like that. And he was in Notre Dame High School in the Valley, but it was saying how he played. He was a master at every sport he plays.
Yeah.
And the coaches got together at the beginning of every year and scheduled times so they wouldn't overlap.
Oh, okay.
They didn't want to burn them out in one sport, and they also wanted to, you know, make sure they got their piece of them.
Yeah.
Another guy you can't stand because he's a natural athlete. And I was always, we play basketball with kids. We pick Steve last. I get picked pretty soon at football, but in baseball and then basketball. No, I can't dribble 3 times in a row without hitting my toe.
Okay.
So, but I never was. I'm not that quick anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's the way the high school sports and these people with their kids. Well, before high school, it turns into a job.
Yeah.
That's why Landon John Donovan, we say he's 32. He's been playing since he was 3.
Exactly.
And going to academies. And,
yes.
And every weekend you're doing something. You got a private coach and you're going to every seedy hotel up and down the 99 freeway or the 91. And it's amazing these athletes are such good players because they spent their entire life eating McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's not training table food. They're eating junk food because that's all they get.
And they say that that's actually a phenomenon that happens with young NBA players because they have like the one and done. They should just be able to skip high school and go right to. So these gentlemen, when they, you know, they grow up and a lot of them just, you know, live in family budget, whatever. McDonald's is a common thing in family budgets. And they, of course, grow up liking it. Now, all of a sudden, they're making money in the pros. And they're just still living on McDonald's. And they get to, like, year two and three, and they're not developing, and they're not in shape. And, you know, the trainers in the NBA are like, what are you eating? And, you know, they find out these guys are living on junk food. Dwight Howard was like a... He's like a Skittles addict. Apparently, he was almost diabetic because of his sugar...
No way, really?
He was a member of the Lakers, I was reading an article. Apparently, he eats so many Skittles before a game that was dehydrating him, causing this borderline like diabetic situation, and he had to go through a detox program during the off season to get it back. And I'm like,
Betty Ford for Skittles?
Yeah, you know,
that's
incredible.
I never heard that.
That could be worse things, but still, so detrimental and unhealthy to abuse sugar like that. You know?
Well, you know, sometimes there's just nothing better than a Big Mac.
Yeah,
or late at night, yeah. How about a couple of Taco Bell 2-for-99 tacos?
Speaking of Taco Bell or late night fast food, I think it was Derek Carr of the Raiders, not the Niners game, but the one where they won on the Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
They go, well, you know, would you guys celebrate after the game? He goes, oh, you know, we're happy to win, but yeah, I just hit a Taco Bell on the way home and
funny.
Have my dinner and watched ESPN and went to sleep. You know?
Well, the other night, they had the holiday stroll in the Riviera Village. I got to ride in the parade with my wife and a few other people. And then we went over to the world-famous HT Grill, and it was packed. And a lot of people were there because they wanted to – a lot of people were lobbying me for something or another. But we never got around to eating. And, you know, being a responsible citizen that I am, I called for a ride. And my daughter, Brett, her boyfriend, was at our house. He goes, I'll come and get you. I haven't had a drink. So he picked Pam and I up, and we hadn't eaten. So I said, drive by Taco Bell. So we ordered the dozen or the 10 tacos in a box.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll have two tacos. And Pam says, well, I'll have one. And we got home, and the adult kids were at the house, and there was probably five boys, young guys. And I realized that you don't show up with 10 Taco Bell tacos when you got about four or five guys.
Yeah, no.
I should have brought 30 or 40 home. There's no chewing involved.
Not much, yeah.
That's nothing, but, yeah, they're pretty good. You can't eat them while you're driving. They just go over your clothes.
Oh, exactly.
It's like a hamburger.
Actually, the other night after playing a gig, at Susie's, Taco Bell. Because I hadn't eaten, and I'm like, you know what? I'm hungry. I don't have anything really. And the Albertsons was closed. I wasn't going to go.
Well, where's the Taco Bell near Susie's?
Just, it was by my house. In my
over
apartment.
Here.
Yeah, so
at
I'm like, I got to hit Taco Bell.
I got you. Okay. Because right across from Susie's is a Jack in the Box.
And those which little, I could have done. Now, that's a good late night taco.
Yeah, there's a debate on whether it's meat or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? They're pretty good.
Again, late night.
Late night.
Played a gig.
Well, there's a place in Manhattan Beach called The Kettle.
Oh, yeah.
And young people
go
there a lot. So I went there 40 years ago. It was a great thing called Eggs Almost Benedict. It's just eggs Benedict with cheese sauce. And I said, you know, the trouble is I don't think I've ever been there when the sun's up.
Right.
It's always 2 in the morning. And I don't stay up till 2 in the morning anymore, so I don't know what's any good if I don't have any cocktails in me.
Right.
It might be bad food. It's good food when you've been drinking. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and talk some more.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. I'm not going to tell you what we talked about during the break, but we're both busting up. So it is HealthyLife.net, but it's kind of funny that we're talking about fast food, drinking in the middle of the night, and it's on HealthyLife.net.
Yeah, somehow we digressed.
We've digressed, but you know, we were
talking about athletes and their habits.
Well, let's talk about our habits. You know, you said you changed a few habits. It is HealthyLife.net. Well, I really don't eat that much fast food.
Right.
And because of my internal problems, if I do have a couple of greasy tacos, I am going to pay the price.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to be careful if I'm out and about because I have very valuable parts missing.
Absolutely.
And you hate to soil yourself because you ate a late Taco Bell. But
yeah.
And then, you know, I will never go out to a restaurant and order just a big Cobb salad anymore. But, and I guess there's more calories in that than there is in a Big Mac anyway. But
they say the dressing can, or the croutons and some of that will zap you. So.
But if I was to eat a big bowl of salad out at a restaurant, I may not make it home.
Right.
So I got to stick with all the bad food. But you were saying another thing off the break, which we can't talk about, was you're not going to Carl's and pizza as much. How much weight did you lose?
Like 25 pounds.
No way.
Year, a little less than a year.
Okay, I guess I should pay attention. I'm not checking
still
you out enough.
Still got a few big shirts. It took me a while to decide. I need to get some more shirts.
And that's just giving up fast food?
Basically, yeah. Just changing that a little bit. Eating a lot more vegetables. Didn't quite go vegetarian, but I figured even without making that step, if you eat more vegetables, it's probably a good thing. So, definitely a lot of that. And, did some juicing and stuff because my problem was that here in the studio, my hour of lunch is unpredictable. And even when I think I'm going to have an hour of lunch, someone might be like, I need to do a pre-recording or something might come up. And then my choices and my time limitations are very strict beyond that. I have like an hour to go somewhere and then the choices to go are going to be fast food or a restaurant where I'll go and maybe overeat and then come back and be full. So I need to make some changes. And I had tried many times in the past. And then this time I was just finally, I need to be consistent with this because, I see the pattern and it was having a detrimental effect. And, I just want to make some changes for myself, and they all worked out.
Now, were you trying to lose weight, or just happened?
It just happened. I was just trying to eat healthier, and it happened.
So you don't go in there at midnight and get a Hershey bar, then?
No.
I tend to do that.
Yeah.
Or ice cream.
Really. And, candy is something I don't do much. I will eat some high-level premium chocolate. And, the holiday season, I will eat a cookie, almost any type of cookie.
I love cookies.
Cookies. I've never met a cookie I didn't like, so I will still have those. But, don't do the Oreos or a box of Oreos, just being a little more in moderation.
It's hard to have one or two Oreos.
Yeah, so, but by doing that way, it just keeps cravings down, and, it's been a lot easier.
I might try that. I don't do New Year's resolutions.
And then pizza was just something every day when you're hungry, I would be like, pizza,
And you live right around all these fast food places. You just walk out and get it.
Look out my window, and there's Papa's John's every night. There's a donut shop.
Oh, yeah.
So, sometimes the middle of the night when that baker at the donut shop's getting tomorrow's donuts ready, that is tempting, but donuts are just really off the list of really bad things. So maybe have two a year.
you're really trying. Okay. Well, I actually should. Last night, I'm thinking about it's the first time I had beef in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife I'm going to go beefless just to see if that changes my insides.
Okay.
But
keep me posted.
Well, yeah, the beef, it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It was, of course, HT grill.
Uh-huh.
It was a filet mignon, and it was as good as I've ever had at Morton's or Fleming's or anywhere.
Okay.
At about half the price of Morton's or Fleming's or
perfect.
Something.
Perfect, and closer to home.
And zero fat on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't put any stuff on it. So, yeah, that was probably good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have a, it's hard because I like to, I will sneak a leftover Halloween bar, Reese's or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I had a couple of little bite-sized Snickers and they're laying around.
No, I have the big ones at home left over. Oh, yeah, you can't have one bite.
Yeah.
The Butterfingers, the super Butterfingers.
Yeah, Butterfingers are good.
But, yeah, cookies and all that. But it is funny. Yeah, now I think about it, I haven't had that much. I don't eat that much fast food. My wife hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, she runs, so,
I was home today playing on the computer, and she was at the Beach City's Health District gym working out.
Wow.
Now, could I have walked the dog? No, I could have, but I didn't. I just left, sat there, and I was checking out, writing down recipes on how to make tamales.
Okay.
Now, why is it all about food? Maybe that's why I go up and down.
Show's around lunchtime, so,
yeah.
The middle of the day.
Yeah, well, I told her I want to make some tamales for Christmas.
Uh-huh. That's always a tradition.
Yeah, well, we've never done it, but I'm going to start it. So here I was, spent an hour on the computer going through recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wrong calling in life, I think. My wife's working out, and I'm checking out recipes.
Tamales,
yeah. So where do you go? You eat tamales?
Yeah, I'll do a tamale.
Yeah.
Sparingly. Pork's something I've tried to stay away. I know the carnitas is generally the meat and the tamales. So. But, with meat and that, I don't eat as much, and I'm a little more selective. By eliminating, the lower quality, like the fast food, or only having that on the rare occasion, like, after a show or late at night when you just are very hungry, and then not ordering everything on the menu, take one of everything.
Now, I know. Well, when you do a show, do you have cocktails you do in the show?
A couple beers.
That's it. You're not one of the rock and rollers out there trashing the rooms.
No, typically, number one, I don't play so much that I need to be forgetful on the second leg of the tour because it's, you know, so boring in the Northeast during the winter or something.
Right,
you know,
okay,
and,
yeah.
I'm, you know, so much pressure to get the album out. So there's not so many shows that, you know, yeah, I tend to want to, you know, do good and remember them as well. Mm-hmm. And I found, you know, I play a lot better, you know, at that right mix of just enough to, because there is a little bit of, I think it's more of anticipation and excitement, but there's a little nerves getting up there, wanting to, you know, perform and just do well so that, like...
Oh, yeah, it'd be horrible.
You know, just, you know, one or two is good, just to sort of loosen up and then, you know, kind of let it go. And then once it's going, you do get thirsty, you know, but you don't really have time to
yeah,
do it.
So you'll get off one of your shows and be all wasted and want to Taco Bell then?
No, no. No. Actually, at that point, that's when the hunger steps in because there's a certain point within an hour or two before the show when I know show's coming up, I won't be able to eat or I'll eat very light, you know, like very crackers or a...
Nervous, huh?
Yeah, it just kicks in every now and then, you know, and sometimes it's predictable. I thought, you know, I was kind of over it, and then just last week, for whatever reason, I just had a moment where I was, you know, a little nervous.
You're on stage in front of people.
Yeah.
That's got to be... And you...
Had to do two sets.
Yeah, they're going to know. Well, you know, maybe they will know if you mess up or not, but you gotta. Whoa, there! I kicked the wire.
That's okay.
They, I remember when I used to play football.
Mm-hmm.
My claim to fame was I'd throw up before every game.
Yeah.
Religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there 5 minutes before we took the field and I'd have to puke.
Yeah.
And I'd purposely go have a hamburger or something so I'd have something to throw up. I knew I'd want the dry heat, but I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And once you're out there, it's fine, but I don't know why I'm so nervous, but I guess if you're not nervous, you're not trying.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem with that. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about your musical career. I'm interested in that.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz.
Yeah.
And you have a talent that I've always been jealous of. You know, if someone said you could do one thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be the best at it,
uh-huh.
some guys would go, I'd like to be the best golfer or the best football player. I always wished I could play guitar, or I had one,
mm-hmm.
and I used to take lessons when I was 10.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't pick anything up, and I could play Outer Limits.
Bring it in, I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, people tell me that all the time, but But I'm going 62 years old. I'm not going to learn anything. I'll be dead before I learn the three chords. But I'm jealous of the guys who can play instruments. So you're in two bands now.
Yeah.
You play it. So tell me about them.
Well, the southern band, a little more southern flavor, that's the Willem and Dakota, the band I've been in. Actually, just kind of 4 years I've been playing with them now. And we had just, we did two shows. We played at Huntington Beach over the weekend at this festival called The Light, A Lot of Love. It's their tree lighting ceremony at the pier every year in the... High school band comes out and does some stuff. So we played there, and then Susie's house, we played Thursday. Now my friends I'm in the band with, they're from the South, New Orleans, and had been, as sometimes people move to California and think about moving back home when things get expensive or what have you, they're kind of going through that on a personal level, and there's a little bit of question that they were going to move back. So we had booked the show in December to be a going away. My friend thought he would be moving back to New Orleans, and then it turned out they're staying. So we still played the show, and then with that being said, the staying became official maybe a month or so ago. That's at some point the going away show wasn't the priority anymore, and then we needed another band to play, and my other friend Leonard, he played in a band called Thunder Surf, which is a little bit more of a adrenalized surf classics and a couple bluesy originals, and a little more jazzy and psychedelic, if you will. We're a three-piece band. He sings a little bit, but we have some more instrumentals, and it's the same drummer who plays in a lot of bands, so... he asked me to join that band to replace a guy who was too busy because he plays bass for a lot of bands as well. So bass players and drummers often will play in often a handful of bands just because there are a little bit, not as many of them.
And you get to practice a lot with both bands?
I do. Luckily, they both live very close to where I live.
Where do you practice?
Either, you know, that's the thing. We don't get to fully practice with a drummer, and it's always typically just in my living room going over the riffs with myself and the guitarist. So him and I sound pretty tight. When we all play together and there's singing and drumming involved, that's where it becomes necessary. We should probably rehearse more often, and, you know, I'm trying to kind of push us to that a little bit more.
Yeah, the garage band, that's where it comes from, practicing in your garage and
you
drive
know,
your neighbors crazy.
You know, so there's that. And then, you know, the other gentleman, we actually hadn't done as many shows this, it's been a kind of a slow summer. He picked up stand-up paddleboarding, and that's been his weekend passion.
His passion there, okay.
But oftentimes, before a show, you know, we'll get together for an hour or two, like on Sunday afternoon, and go over some of the stuff. But I've been playing for like 2 years now. So the two bands, I know most of the material. Were the Thunder Surf officially he knew he would be playing that night as of like Sunday was when he officially knew he'd be playing 4 days from now. So he just emailed me a basic set list so I knew what we would be playing, and there were songs we've done before. So, yeah.
So if you just sat down and someone gave you a music book and you could read the music and play it, or do you have to work out for
Music reading's a little more difficult. I used to be better at reading music as a kid when I played clarinet. Mm-hmm. But with guitars and bass, there's sort of, a couple things. Either you just get like the for bass, it's like really the notes, the key in D, or, you know, so I get the chords D, G, C or something. I'll know that, and then there'll be a change in the song, and, you know, it goes to another thing. So I'll sort of know what they are and then feel it. And then with guitars, there's a language or a certain musical language called tablature, where they'll show you, six lines representing the strings, and then there'll be, like on string number two, it'll say, and string number two and three, it'll say seven and seven, and then there'll be like five, five, which will say, put your hands on these strings and these frets, and then you go, oh, that's a D chord.
And bass is more about feel.
Yeah, you know, and not so much chord notes, and a little bit more with runs.
You kind of mess up, and you can mess up on the notes, couldn't you? As long as you keep the right rhythm, and you just kind of go up and down.
Yeah, you know, and with the bass, you know, once there's a sort of a rhythm going, you know, you can get away with a little fill or a counter rhythm, you know, as long as you get back to the main thing. But, you know, what I always ask people, you know, oftentimes if people don't notice me, I'm doing a good job. You know, meaning they just feel the beat, everything's good.
Right.
You know, basically, if there's nothing to say, then everything was fine. You know, where a bass player, you know, when that dance floor is dancing and you sit there and you want to get fancy, you can't, because you got to keep that groove going, whatever it is. And by the time
I don't want a fancy bass player.
That's not the time to show off your musical virtuosity. That's the time to just keep it going on those three notes and let it run.
Bass players, you are a cog in a machine, aren't you?
And
you
can, a little bit.
You can go from band to band. Who was that guy that was on the Birds? I'm old. Chris somebody.
Oh.
Then he went to the Flying Burrito Brothers. And mm-hmm. He'd been in like 20 bands, I guess, back in his day. But mm-hmm. I don't know why I knew this. It's one of those, my brain just clicked into something. But I always thought, he can just go from band to band and figure it out. And they always need a good bassist.
Yeah. No, it's always kind of fun. A lot of good bass players in bands are good guys who play guitar. And they just don't have it's a better gig to play bass for this band that's happening about to tour and release an album than write your own stuff and get to that point that they're already at. So,
how long have you been playing bass?
About 4.5-5 years now.
Yeah, okay. So you are more in, what's your favorite type of music to play?
I like classic rock. You know, I do like some of the, like, what would be called grunge rock of the 90s, you know, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots. But I like classic rock, and I love playing funk as a bass player. I find I'm... And even as a guitar player, I find that I'm more into funky, rhythmic type stuff. I'm not really a shred, lead, scale guy, you know, and playing fast and, you know, trying to do that. I like, you know, more like a Rolling Stones, James Brown, Black Crows type of funky.
Do you use a pick or use your fingers?
Mostly a pick. There are plenty of songs that I'll just use fingers, depending on the
thing. I see some guys using their fingers only. Mm-hmm. Is that something you just pick up when you start? Or
There's some guys that are, you know, within bass that are like there's a bit of a traditional, you know, they call it like a warmer, deadened sound. You don't want to have as bright of a pop or a certain kind of thing to it. I found that playing live with our drummer, if I don't turn up super loud playing with a pick, you can hear me better, and I can hear myself. And therefore, I started playing with a pick about 2 years ago just to hear myself and be there a little bit better. But there's a few songs I definitely play, you know, just on the fingers. There's one song in particular, the bass line for Lowrider, because of the way it is and the strings involved and the pace, it's easier to play finger-wise than to do that pick. So there's a few that I do that. And then I practice without the pick quite a bit at home. But live, I like to have a pick just because it's more consistent. I find that live, with so much going on and distractions, that I will occasionally miss a note playing the fingers. So, you know, it just helps me be a little bit...
Is that because you hit the wrong string?
Could be, you know. Yeah. With so much going on, you know, trying to just keep an eye on everything, keep a, you know, pace with what's going on, listen, know there's a lot more going on, just there's a potential for a wrong note to happen.
But you notice it more than the fans would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're... You know. Yeah. You want to be perfectionist up there, right?
Yeah, you know, and it, you know, you notice it because it just doesn't sound right, and then, you know, you try to deaden it quick, you know, put your hand on the, you know, mute it on the string.
Now, do your fellow musicians ever call you out, or do you make fun of each other if you miss something? Or
every now and then, what'll happen is we'll be playing along, and my guitarist will be singing, and then he'll just sort of turn and look, and he'll, you know, give me a, like, you can obviously see that this is a D, and then it'll get me back to, you know, sometimes I might get them backwards, you know, depending if we haven't rehearsed that. We did one like that the other night, and it took me a minute to realize I had an A and a C in the wrong place.
So is it hard going from one band to another in the same night?
It is a little taxing in that, once you're there, you're kind of there, and it's fun to play kind of all night, but there is sort of, you sort of feel like you're working two jobs, and you just got off your day job, now you have to go to your bartending job type of thing, whatever it is. Yep. Or you just got off your bartending job, now you have to go to your morning job, or whatever. So it's kind of like you feel like a little bit of both, but the drummer and I play with both, so we almost have our own little private gang within the night, you know?
You never get the respect, though. I mean, I always think the most lucky guy in the world is the guy from U2.
Oh, yeah.
No one cares about him.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's cool, but he's not.
Right.
No, he makes billions of dollars, and let's add him something. But I watch him, and they're not here to see you, but it's just they're always in the background.
Yeah.
But as long as you get the money, it's good to be in the background. You know, you get to go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Bono can't go to a restaurant. Everybody else can.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back and close this baby out.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
HealthyLife.net. We talked about football.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, we talked about
tacos.
Tacos, drinking too much. Let's see. And we ended up on your musical career, which makes me really jealous. But you know what's kind of cool? Because you can't just play bass. I could probably learn the notes, but I don't have the rhythm.
Mm.
You still
got
to be able to put that stuff together. And I've seen you play. You're up pretty intense up there. So
thanks.
So next time, unless you don't play at midnight, let me know. We'll come out and watch.
Yeah.
Real quick, you put together a show, though, right?
Yeah, that'll be here on Fridays on HealthyLife.net, Friday afternoons. It'll be called Backbeat Radio Show. Finally came up with a name that has a name instead of Music, News, and Interviews, which will
backbeat.
Be what I'll be doing on the show.
Yeah, isn't that a Beatles line, the backbeat?
It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it.
Right, okay.
Rollover Beethoven.
That's right. Well, you know all this stuff. And you're going to get guests on from musicians? From
I'm going to get local people, you know, people that are maybe up and coming, undiscovered, or, you know, I also have a list of people. You know, it's like, why not ask Paul McCartney? He's already not coming on the show. If I ask him and he says no, what do I lose?
He's still not coming, but
if he says yes, I got Paul McCartney
That'd be cool.
You know, so I'm not going to say I'll Paul McCartney yet, but, you know, I'm just going to make a list of people.
Ladies and gentlemen, on December 28th, they'll have Paul McCartney to be at HealthyLife.net.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm just going to start doing that and basically ask, and, you know, I'm sure people will come on. And, you know, the fact that I did interviews and music radio as a DJ for so long, I think once the show gets out there and people can hear it and see that I'm just not one of a million other guys doing radio shows, you know, I might have a bit more of a chance to get the people I want.
There's something to offer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll be listening. All right, everybody, we will be gone for the rest of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday.